Classics Radio Sport.
Hello, hello, sports fans. Welcome back to Saturday Sport Classified, where I have all the sporting highlights of this sporting weekend for you. The matches in today's big hockey finals have revealed one thing, that Sam Skinner should never take up competitive gambling, but there were some incredibly exciting shock results. In the football, we're calling London Live to do the draw for the quarterfinals for the ECAP FA Cup, and I've got a preview of tomorrow's big netball finale for you and much, much more. So thank you as always for having us on this afternoon. Thank you again for having us on this afternoon. And first up, as always, today's hockey and football results. And if I'm missing any scores and you have them handy, do text them in to me on 166 177. If you put your name on the end of the message too, I will be able to thank you personally on air. So starting with football, we have in the ECAP FA Cup, we've got Foxdale 1, Gyms 5. Castletown 0, Ramsey 8, St George's 7, Douglas Royal 0, and the Union Mills Douglas Athletic. Union Mills points went to them because Douglas Athletic unfortunately couldn't field a team. Moving on, we have St Mary's 1, Russian 3, Malou 3, Moran 1, Corinthians 12, Ramsey Youth Centre 1, and the Douglas Old Boys Laxey game that was played earlier in the week, and Douglas Old Boys, the score was 0 and Laxey 3. And then the one game in Combi 1 was Gyms 1, Colby 1. Looking at the hockey, and in the Men's Cup, we have Vikings A1, Backers A2. In the men's plate, we had Valkyries B2, Vikings C2, and then Valkyries B went on to win that game 4-2 on penalty flicks. In the Women's Cup, we have Vikings A7 and Backers A2, and in the women's plate, that game is between Backers B and Vikings B, and it is continuing as we speak. Oh no, it's not. Sam Savina's holding up a piece of paper for me at the moment. It's Backers 0, Vikings 3. Okay, so just before we come to today's matches more in depth with Tony Methen, it's been a sad week as the local football community lost one of its stalwarts, Edna Clark. Tony, would you like to say a few words?
Yeah, a lot of people, certainly my age anyway, will remember Edna because absolutely fantastic lady to have involved in football. I think it was between 50, 60 years she was involved with Paul Rose Football Club. And she was sharp as anything, you know, to get the money in. Boys are always slow to pay the subs, but Edna would never forget. And it's a big, big loss, not only to Paul Rose Football Club, to Manx football, because, you know, when you look at Brian, her husband, he put about 40-odd years of service into Paul Rose, and Edna that was there for nearly 60. Absolutely incredible. So our thoughts are with the family, everyone involved in football. As I say, a little bit older than some will know of Edna, and incredible lady and dedication to a club, unbelievable. So our thoughts are with everybody.
And we echo that. Thoughts are with Edna's family and friends. She sounds like an incredible woman. Let's look at today's football matches more in depth then. So we'll begin with Foxdale versus Gyms. So Foxdale 1, Gyms 5.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise this one, because at lunchtime, saying I expected Foxdale after scoring 14 goals last week, you would have thought this week they would have gone for it. Jay Chatwood on the score sheet once again. He got one today, got six last week. But Gyms did really well. Luke Fisher with two, Connor Dempsey with a couple of goals, and Harry Wilson got the other one, and Gyms go into the hat.
Tough game for Castletown next. We had Castletown 0, Ramsey 8.
Yeah, it was always going to be the way. Castletown, a Division 2 side, Ramsey Premiership side, and done well. They've got some really good young players coming through, and Michael Simpson with three goals today. Chris Duggan got two. Dylan Pickles on the score sheet. Rob Morton and Harry Blissett got the other one. So a good performance there by Ramsey.
Then we have St George's 7, Douglas Royal 0.
Yeah, watch this one. And it didn't take long for St George's to take the lead. And Nathan Cardy, it was within, I don't know, about 30, 45 seconds scored. And then by the 13th minute, they'd scored a couple more. Jacob Crook had a good header. But Dam Smith smashed one in, unfortunately, into his own goal. He couldn't do much about it. He was facing the goal. Ball was crossed over and unfortunately he touched it. But Jacob Crook got his second of the game. Kieran McNulty, as I say, got two good goals. And Carl Henson got one as well. And Carl, a bit of pace on him, just beat the goalkeeper and managed to put it past him. And St George's looked comfortable. Douglas Royal had a spell in the second half, but it didn't quite go for them. But I wouldn't panic. They've got some really good young players in there. But St George's, trust me, are a force to be reckoned with. When you look at Joel Ibanez back, you've got Joey Morlin back. You've also got Jacob Cook in there, Sean Quay, Johnny Myers at the back, Chris Bass. They all came off to rest up. St George's are looking strong, and look out in the quarterfinal draw when we do it shortly.
And then, as previously mentioned, Union Mills versus Douglas Athletics. The latter couldn't field a team, unfortunately, so points have gone to Union Mills.
Union Mills go through, yep.
Then we have St Mary's 1, Russian 3.
And Russian, you know, in this game, we just wondered what sort of squad they'd have, and we discussed this at lunchtime. I know Furu Davies got the first, Mikey Williams got the second one. We're just trying to find out what the third goal scorer was, but it's still not come through. Stephen Priestnell got a goal back just before, I think it was about 10 minutes before the end of the game, to make it 2-1, and then Russian got another one. So at least they give themselves a chance, but they couldn't find the form that they had 7 days ago when they were 2-0 down at half-time and then came back to win 4-3. But today Russian have gone through and showed why they finished second in the league.
Then we have Maloo 3, Moran 1.
Amazing result, this one, because when you look at the league tables, Maloo finished fourth in JCK Division 2. Moran finished eighth in the Premier League. And today it was Darren Tartar's day because he got two goals. Jordan Kreipner as well got one. And what's more amazing about this one is how many players Maloo had missing today. 15 players like Dan Swan, Ash Egan were missing. Kieran Kreipner was missing, and also Darren Flanagan and Jamie Skillen as well. So well done to Maloo. Haven't got Moran's goal scorer, but maybe today they're one or two short, or just Maloo played well.
Then it was goals galore in the Corinthians game. They beat Ramsey Youth Centre 12-1.
Yeah, they did. And there was a lot of goals in this game. And it was tight for a while. But then once they started to go in, it was a real big show. Steve Whitley with three. Sean Doyle with four. And from what I heard, the first three goals were all headers. And I'm not surprised because when you look at Luke Murray, 6'5", Sean Doyle is about the same. That was probably a plan. Dan Simpson down that left-hand side. You've got Steve Whitley down the right. But Luke Murray, a couple of goals for Luke. Well done. Conor Gorman got one. And Dan Simpson wasn't going to miss out as well, with the rest of the boys around him scoring goals. And Dan Simpson got two. Great result. Ramsey, son, unfortunately, we haven't got their goal scorer.
The Douglas Old Boys Laxey game was played earlier in the week, and the score was Douglas Old Boys 0, Laxey 3, which means Laxey are through to the draw.
They are, and we'll give you some goal scorers on that one. It was Harry Walters got one, Dave Wilson, I think it was, who got the other one, and Michael Fernandez. So that game was brought forward. I think Old Boys had a wedding or something on, but it was well and truly sorted out before lockdown 3 finished. We knew we had a problem on that date, and well done to Laxey for agreeing to play the game on Thursday and get it out of the way.
And then the only game in Combi 1 was Jim's 1, Colby 1.
Yeah, and points shared in this. Jim's goal scorer was Jake Cade. And for Colby, Steve Collister got his name on the score sheet.
Now, we have Dan Collier on the phone, talking to us live from the Big Smoke to do the draw for the quarterfinals of the ECAP FA Cup. So, how are you, Dan?
Yeah, very good, guys. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Dan. What's happening in London?
Well, we're still monitoring daily numbers. Unfortunately, yesterday's figure, I think, was the highest that we'd seen case-wise for a couple of months. So it's very much ups and downs at the moment. Earlier in the week, we'd had a whole day, whole 24-hour period without any death, which is a sad state of affairs when that's really something to celebrate. But obviously it was, and we thought that was a good step in the right direction. But unfortunately, this Indian variant seems to be taking hold. And unfortunately, it looks like we're going to be taking a bit of a step back, certainly in the short term.
Well, I mean, you can't get much more socially distanced than what we are now. So we've had plenty of practice. And I believe you have a bag of balls with you.
I do indeed, yep.
Okay, so I'm going to hand over to Tony Metham now.
Hiya, Dan. Welcome to the show. This is your first one with the draw. So hopefully you're going to give us some good ties.
Absolutely, I'll certainly do my best. Just looking at the results today, it looks like obviously there's been some clear cup winners and a couple of shocks in there in true FA Cup style. So very, very excited to be involved.
Excellent. And yeah, that Malou score has taken my breath away. It was absolute superb performance by them. But when you look in there as well, because the top teams usually rise through at this quarterfinal stage. We've got Corinthians in there. We've got Russian and St George's. Uni Mills, who are the Division 2 champions, aren't doing so well in this cup at the moment. The reason why I say that, they got a bye in the first one. Unfortunately, the second game that should have been played today, Douglas Athletic were unable to field a team. But in there, you've got Jims, who won the Grand Slam in 85-86. So they can't do it this year, but certainly in with a shout in this FA Cup. So let's put people out of their misery. You've got eight balls in the bag. Can we have the draw, please?
Yep. Let's do it. Okay, so first one out of the hat is number eight.
Number eight is Union Mills.
And number two.
Number two is Jims. So that's Union Mills will play Jims.
And next up, number five.
Number five is a home tie for Ramsey.
And we've got then number four.
Number four is Malou. So the second game out of the bag is Ramsey at home against Malou.
Okay, next up we've got number one.
Number one is a home game for Corinthians.
And they're up against number seven.
Number seven is St George's.
Okay, and last but not least, we've got number six.
Number six is a home game for Russian.
And against number three.
Number three is Laxey. So I'll go through the ECAP FA Cup quarterfinal draw. These games are to be played next Saturday, the 12th of June. I'll come to one of them in a minute because we might have to bring that game forward. But we've got Union Mills at home against Jims. We've got Ramsey. We'll play at home against Malou. Corinthians against St George's. And Russian against Laxey. The reason why I say about one of the games, that Corinthians and St George's, we might bring that game forward half an hour earlier kickoff, because next Saturday now, we've been working on this, that the Paul Henry Gold Cup final can't be played at the bowl because it's not available. The clubs are happy enough to play on grass, and the Paul Henry Gold Cup will check with both clubs. Ramsey Youth Centre against Onchan will be played at Bala Fletcher, 6 o'clock kickoff on that Saturday. So we just need to bring that other game forward half an hour just to give a bit more time to prepare for the final.
Are those good matchups?
Brilliant. I think that the one out there is Corinthians against St George's, and I know sort of Dan and Brooke keep a keen eye on it, but St George's, I think, are ahead of the game to where they were earlier on in the season, and I think Corinthians are going to have a game on the hands. It'll suit them because it's at their pitch. But what a great game that is going to be, and looking forward to that one next Saturday. Russian against Laxey. Laxey did well against Douglas High School Old Boys, and Russian back in form. Looks like some of their key players are back fit. But what an opportunity for Union Mills or Jims to get to a semi-final, and also Ramsey against Malou to get to a semi-final. And that Ramsey Stadium is a mega place to play football in. So I'm sure Malou will enjoy the day, and a big crowd down there as well.
Excellent. And Dan, are you keeping fingers crossed to be able to come over for the final, which I believe is the 26th of June?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think restrictions over here, the last lifting of restrictions is due on the 21st of June, which Boris seems to be fairly confident that's still going to be the case. I mean, look, we had just over 6,000 cases here yesterday, so we really have got to take each day as it comes. We just can't make any plans to do anything at the moment. If we can get over there, certainly we will. So if that date sticks and the 21st is when we're fully free, then Brooke and I will certainly be booking a flight over. And as I say, we're very, very keen to be involved on finals day and present the trophy to the winning team.
Well, we'll keep everything crossed for you, Dan. Definitely. And excellent handling of those balls. Well done. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye. Good luck, Dan.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And we've just had a message in saying Owen Hurt scored from round, and Malou played very, very well and made Mark Druitt, who sadly passed away on Sunday, proud.
Yep.
So thank you very much for that. And thank you very much, Tony Meppen.
My pleasure.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
Hockey Now, and I have Sam Spooner in the studio with me with a very bloody leg. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Stiff as always, but
You always say, yeah, yeah, not too bad. So big day in hockey today. And yeah, all your predictions were pretty much terribly incorrect.
Well, I got the winners right. Mm. Maybe the nature of the win
build up.
Yeah, was not quite as convincing as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, well, let's start in the Men's Cup. So Vikings A 1, Backers A 2.
Yeah, Vikings A went 1-0 ahead and were good for it as well, to be fair. Backers A were winning short corners and winning quite a few, but unusually for Backers, they just couldn't get one right. Their push-outs were poor, their setups were poor, and they weren't really executing as well as they normally do, so they weren't a threat from short corners at that point. The turning point came when Chris Bass got a second bookable offence and was sent off. So that put Backers A down to 10 men, and that just seemed to sort of revitalise them and almost put Vikings back in a box a little bit. And with a man down, you'd think Vikings A should be in the ascendancy. They certainly were not. Jamie Brown dragged that Backers A side, which I must say, some four under 16s tip players in that side today. Kieran Ledridge, Luca Pilato, James Leeson, Harry Kalen for Backers A. And you looked at the squads and you think Vikings A are stronger, but they still just cannot get over the line against Backers A. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's some sort of mental block. But well done, Backers A. League and Cup double again. Andrew Whiting got on the score sheet for Backers A, and the very young Harry Kalen is on the score sheet as well. And keep an eye out for those under-16s names, because they are the futures of Manx hockey.
Mm-hmm. And then let's go to the Women's Cup next. So Vikings A 7, Backers A 2.
Yeah, and to be fair, Backers A opened the score and a really well-taken goal from Martha Broderick. And I'll be honest, they seemed to look pretty comfortable in the first sort of 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then that goal sort of pushed Vikings into life
a
little bit.
I always feel that with Zoe and Kim Carney, like, as soon as there's a goal against them, it's like they just roll up their sleeves and they're like, okay, we're not having this. And then absolutely obliterate, you know, come back fighting.
That's exactly what happened. And Zoe Crowe, dive and finish at the other end. Brilliant, brilliant finish. Brave as well, because the keeper's bearing down on her. Put it in the back of the net to equalise. And then from there, Vikings never really relinquished much control. They went 3-1 up. Backers A managed to get it to 3-2. And at that point, I thought, well, maybe there's a game to be had here. Backers are doing incredibly well. They're doing pretty well defensively. A few little chances that they were letting in, but the Vikings are just so good. You don't stop them when they're in full flow. Mm. But from that point on, Vikings just stepped it up yet another gear, and they accelerated away to win 7-2. The second half, Backers A had a couple of attacking opportunities, but nothing really. And at one point, somebody made the comment that every single one of the Backers players was defending. And they were defending resolutely. They did not want to concede another goal, but I think that just put them under more pressure in the end. But yeah, so really well done from Backers A. Vikings A, champions, double league and cup double champions again.
Congratulations to Vikings A. And then the men's plate, which you described earlier as one of the best games you've seen, and you were obviously playing in this. And in the lead up, you said there's no pressure. You know, we're just going to go in and have fun. And we said, you know, sometimes under those circumstances, you can really pull a performance out of the bag. And clearly you did, because it was a draw 2-2 at final on the final whistle. And then Balcaisby just took it on penalty flicks 4-2.
Yeah, and I'm in a really weird situation where I kind of don't want to talk about my own team, but I've got to, because it was one of the best performances I've seen from that C team all season. And we've punched above our weight. Nobody expected us to even finish in the top half of the table. So, and we did that, and we beat one of the top two. But against Valkyries, we'd always seemed to capitulate in the last 5-10 minutes, and we've lost 4-0, I think, three times this season to them in the league. So we went into this game without any expectation of our performance today. But I think every player ran the furthest they've ran. They put more effort in than they've put in all season. There was nothing left in any of us at the end of that game. Even Valkyries, there was nothing left in them. Because it really was a big physical end-to-end battle. And Valkyries did go in the lead through Chris Caldwell. And Lee Cowell managed to equalise and to make it 1-1 at half-time. Chris Thomas then put Valkyries in the lead, but Perry Watterson, he's been desperate for a goal all season. We've been coaching his positioning, coaching his runs, and he's been getting those runs perfectly right for the past 2 or 3 weeks, but it's not quite come off for him. But he's done it in a cup final to level a score and take it to penalties. He could not have picked a better time to score his first senior goal. So really well done to Perry Watterson. I can't even be disappointed that we lost. You know, we never expected to be in that position. Valkyrie even said that, you know, that's the best game they've had all season. It was just everybody was knackered at the end of it. But yeah, Valkyrie's won on Flicks in the end, 4-2. Really well done to Valkyrie's B. League and Cup double for them as well.
What a way to finish the season. And then we have the women's plate, which was between Backers B and Vikings B. And you predicted this to be the tightest game of the day. So did it disappoint? You have the results there with you?
I do. I literally just got the result now. Unfortunately, there was a few delays with penalty flicks in the men's plate and an injury to Lucy Quine in the women's cup. I hear she is all right. Maybe a few stitches and stuff. She's up at A&E at the minute. So get well soon, Lucy. But the women's plate literally just finished now. 3-0 Vikings B running out winners. You forced me to make a prediction last night.
I did.
And I was horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I predicted Backers B.
I was
predicting Backers B to maybe just edge it, but Vikings B stepped it up into another gear today. And from what I understand, once Vikings B at 3-0, Backers didn't really look like coming back into it at any point. So really well done to Vikings B. Another League and Cup double.
I feel like any time you vote against a team, they end up winning. So maybe people should thank you, really.
Or pay me to vote against them.
Or that. Do you happen to have the under-16s results?
I've got two, yes. I have the Ramsey Rogues and Rascals, mm-hmm. 5. Valkyrie's 7. The Ramsey goal scorers were Toby Melling with 2 and Alexander Shimmin with 3. I also have the Vikings versus Castletown. Full time was 7-3 to Vikings with Alex Andrew, Charlie Callow Moore with 1 each, Rebecca Kelly with 2, Josh Dougal with 1, Cameron Room with 2 as well.
Thank you very much, Sam Spooner, and congratulations to everyone who played today, including yourself.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
My mother is in the studio yet again. How
Hello.
Are you? Feeling confident now, are we?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Walked in, got those steps in.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. So we're talking netball now. Mm-hmm. And from one big weekend finale to another, tomorrow is the Judy Clark Wilson Charity Cup, which is down at the NSC. And the cup is in memory of the netball legend Judy Clark Wilson, who sadly passed away last year and who thousands of local netballers have to thank for the Manx League and what it is today. So let's look. We've got three big fixtures tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So starting at 9, we have Manx Gems Emeralds versus Balasala Echo. So Emeralds were crowned champions of Division 2 this season, and they were 8 points ahead of Bala in the league table.
Yeah, absolutely. They only lost one game all season. So they really have got to be starting as favourites. Bala won their game last week. It was a really brilliant match against Ramsey Road. Ramsey led for most of the game, and Bala showed great resilience, just a young team in fighting back and winning by 3. However, I do think that last week's loss for Gems was really just a blip. And I think they're going to win really quite comfortably tomorrow.
Okie dokie. And then we have at 10 o'clock at the NSC, all these games are at the NSC, Balasala Charlie, they take on Castletown Spaniards, who were winners of Division 1 by 4 points.
Yeah, so league winner Spaniards, they've only lost 2 games this season. Interestingly, one of their losses was to Balasala. They lost by 1 in the first half of the season, but then they turned the tables in the second match, winning by 4 or 5, I think it was. So for me, this is probably going to be the closest match of the three that are being played tomorrow at the NSC. I think it's potentially a really exciting game. Both teams cruised to really easy wins last week. So, difficult one to call, but I think narrow win for Spaniards.
Okay, I'm going to go with Balasala then, just to be difficult. Yeah. And then at 11 o'clock, topping off the season, we have Premier League winners Simcox Red, and they are taking on Route One Connections, who have had an absolutely fantastic comeback season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both teams have had a great season. Reds, of course, unbeaten. But, you know, you can never kind of rule out Route One. They are a really wily team. They always have something up their sleeve, and they can pull out the most amazing form. I was chatting with Claire Batty today, and I said, Claire, I'm going to go for a win for Route One. And she dared me to predict a win for Route One. But I think if I was being sensible, I think I would say it's going to be Reds all the way tomorrow.
Well, I'll put my money on Route 1 then.
Yeah.
excellent. Well, like I said, all those matches are going on at the NSC tomorrow from 9 until 11. It'd be great to have as many people down supporting as possible.
Yeah, some great netball to watch. There's an entry charge to watch tomorrow's games, but all that money is going to charity. Manx Netball are going to choose a charity in a couple of weeks that they're going to support over the next year. So, you know, you've got the opportunity to come down, watch some absolutely fabulous netball and also support local charities. So win-win.
Excellent. Thank you very much. My mother, also known as Deborah Evans.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
In tennis now, and a stalwart in the Manx tennis community has beaten thousands of other nominees to win the North Region LTA International Lifetime Achievement Award. Pat Sharp, also known as Patricia Sharp, is the secretary for Albany Lawn Tennis Club. Her and her husband Brian moved to the island in 1962 and, thanks to countless fundraisers, built up Albany Tennis Club from a single piece of untamed land to what it is today. I had the pleasure of speaking to Pat earlier this week.
We've signed on the UK Sevens series for next year, which is probably the biggest Sevens event in the UK, with international players. So this is kind of a dummy run for that and being able to include other things this year.
That's not Pat. I'd like to say it was Pat, but Pat is actually a woman, so that it's not correct. That clip, though, I can tell you, is about a brand new festival which has been put on by Douglas Rugby Club to fill the gap of practice week. So the Manx Sevens Festival of Sport is set to be held at Portici in Douglas from next Friday, that's the 11th, until Sunday the 13th of June. And it's going to include everything from competitive and social games of sevens to the Young Farmers Tug of War and a bunch of silly sports, and also some grass racing put on by Manx Harriers. And for those of you who aren't feeling athletic and don't want to compete, there's a range of other entertainment, including a classic bike parade. There's going to be a pyrotechnic stunt show, a bunch of bands and Manx and food and drink stalls. And that, who you heard, who isn't Pat, that's actually Carl Murray, who is the organiser of the event. And just a couple of other stories before I leave you. After a false start because of the weather last month, it is take two for the Peel Hill Enduro event. It's taking place tomorrow and we'll see riders race down the iconic hill in the west of the island. Signing on is at 10 o'clock at the Peel Fish Yard, with races starting at 11 and a prize ceremony at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. The competition is made up of three stages and a practice session will be held before racing begins, and there'll be full medical support on hand for everyone involved. Hopefully you won't need it. Organisers are looking for volunteers to help out tomorrow, so if anyone is interested in getting in touch, you can find out the link to get in touch with those people at manxradio.com on our sports page. And I've been told that anyone who does help marshal the event will be fully briefed and, more importantly, get a free chippy tea thrown in for good measure. Elsewhere, the Manx Fell Runners texted in earlier today to say the traffic cones that were stolen from the Black Hut last week that were to be used for road safety in the Manx Mountain Marathon were unfortunately stolen and haven't been recovered. But they are delighted to say that on hearing of the loss, Watling Streetworks have offered to donate a number of cones to replace them. Everyone at Manx Fell Runners would like to thank Watling for the kind and generous gesture. So, yeah, lovely generosity there. Good to see nice things blossom from a frustrating situation. So thank you very much to Richie from Manx Fell Runners for texting that in. And now I have Charlie Murray back in the studio with me. She's going to give us the latest equestrian news. How are you, Charlie?
Hey, Rhianne, I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. You know, good. Just need to make sure my teeth don't fall out when I'm actually speaking. But apart from that, I'm great. So we caught up about 2 weeks ago to talk about what was happening in the polo and pony club world. So what's been happening? What are the latest developments since then?
So when we last spoke, the polo club had just had day one of their tournament, hadn't they? Mm-hmm. And then the Sunday was a total write-off. The weather was absolutely horrendous. And sadly, horses aren't ducks. So they didn't really fancy playing polo in that weather. Although Joanna Cruckle did still run the corporate day on the Sunday, which I did get to sneak down to and have a few glasses of champagne, which was rather lovely.
Nice.
And then on the Monday afterwards, the Isle of Man Pony Club ran their hunter trial. And they still went ahead in that weather, and it was awful. It really was. The weather was dreadful. But despite the weather, the ground held up absolutely fantastic. And a really good day was had by everyone. There are about 100 entries, and even in that weather, they all turned up. They cracked on with the job in hand, and yeah, hats off to them. Jemima Mulcriest made quite the impression, actually. She did the 70 pairs with her friend Lindsay Collister, and they won that. And she went on to win 70 centimetres junior, and she did fantastic. There was also a nice surprise with the Bass siblings, Lola and Tommy, who did the 80 pairs, and Lola was helping her brother around, and it was a really lovely pair to watch go around. And also on the Pony Club, following on from the Hunter trial, Emma Parsons has been on a bit of a winning streak, actually. She won the 80 centimetres at the Hunter trial, and the dressage, which was held on Bank Holiday Monday, nabbed that date thanks to no TT. Yeah, so she actually won both of her classes at the dressage, which was held at Ballacori. And unlike the weekend before, the weather was absolutely fantastic. The dressage was sponsored by Lavin's Agri Plant Services, which is a massive help, as I'm sure you're aware. Having sponsors involved is just absolutely fantastic. It was lovely to see Elsie Christian winning the junior highest score, which she's a relatively new combination with her pony Rex. And Jane Hatherstitch Jones won the senior highest scorer. There's also a big shout out to Freya Cullen, as she moved up a level to advanced medium on her event horse. So it's absolutely fantastic to see how versatile he is. In polo news today, they've been quite busy. They have three teams competing. They have Complete Plumbing Solutions in their team as Alistair Wood, Zevi Sansbury, Stu Bainborough and Sarah Fry. Manx Travel have Carly Goff, Reggie Harrison, Graham Dimlow, who is swapping on and off with Zoe Pearson and Ed Pearson. In the Celtic Associates, they have Mark Copley, Mel Tim, Ian Wood, who is swapping on with Matthew Huddleston, and they also have Cameron Houston. The Complete Plumbing Solutions led Manx Travel by 4-1. And it was quite exciting, actually, because Carly Goff played on her horse Enzo. And she's actually the first polo pony, well, he is the first polo pony fully trained by a Manx polo player, which is really lovely. And he,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, really cool. And he was fantastic for the Manx Travel team. The Celtic Associates led Manx Travel by 3-2, and Matthew Huddleston played his first senior level polo today for the Celtic Associates. The Celtic Associates led Complete Plumbing Solutions by 4-1.5, and Mel Tim scored 3 goals in under 5 minutes, which is pretty impressive. The second half of that will go on tomorrow, and hopefully the weather's going to be fantastic. It looks pretty good. There's free entry and spectating, and it starts at 1:30 at Ballacooly and Balaff.
Fantastic stuff. That was an excellent report. Thank you. And actually, you're sticking around because we are going to talk about cycling now, as well as equestrianism. And if you listening happen to see a load of people cycling for hours and hours and hours in the north of the island, you're not going mad. The world is not glitching. It's people taking part in the La Danse. So this is a fundraiser for the Dan Neen Charitable Fund, or organised by the Dan Neen Charitable Fund. And it involves people cycling as many laps of Jerby Airfield as possible in 24 hours, which is pretty hardcore. And all the money raised is going towards a number of charities, including the Children's Centre. So, yeah, if you see them, give them a cheer as you go past. And Charlie, you actually went down earlier today. So how was it looking?
It looked absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to say Leanne Harper, who is Dan's girlfriend, she is just incredible. Like, I don't think I've ever met anyone in my life that's so inspirational. And you think of the word fighter, and I think of that, and I think of Leanne. Like, she's just absolutely amazing. And her, obviously, along with quite a lot of other people, it does take an army to put on these events. And she's just done such a fantastic job. Yeah. And especially this event, following on from the Dan Neen Ball they had 18 months ago, isn't it, I think? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've done this after that. But obviously, due to COVID, they couldn't have the ball again, as they'd like to have brought over riders, but travel restrictions not allowing that. And they wanted to keep the name alive and planned on doing a 24-hour bike race, but something different, because obviously you have the longest day, longest ride, which is another fantastic event, but a 24-hour bike race on tarmac hasn't been done before. So they thought, why not, let's crack on and give it a go. And cycling was also very close to Dan's heart. He trained a lot cycling for his road racing, and with no TT, it made sense to run it on what would have been Superbike Saturday. So, you know, you couldn't really have had a more fitting day for it.
Yeah.
At the start, it was great. They did so for, it's based on Le Mans is what they've thought about it for. And at the start of Le Mans, they have your riders are on the other side of the track to their bikes, and they did the same to start it today. So they had to run across the track onto their bikes, which is just absolutely fantastic. They've put a video of it on the Danine page. And yeah, Leanne got the Children's Centre on board, and Jane Howland and Shannon Connor are there supporting. And the Children's Centre have also put in a team. And Thomas Miller are supporting the Children's Centre team and are going to match their fundraising, which is, yeah, amazing. Again, it's just fantastic, fantastic cause. They've also got Chris Martin, who is an employee of the Children's Centre. And he's down there doing the solo section. And he's set himself a goal of 50 laps around the 1.8 mile course. And he's raised himself over £2,000.
Brilliant.
Which, yeah, fantastic. Leanne would also like to big thank you to Justin from ELS, who's given up his time to go down there and help out. JK and Noah's are doing 24-hour catering. So through the night when they get a bit hungry or having a moment where they're thinking, what am I doing?
Just like to specify here, this isn't people, like it's not a rule that you cannot stop for 24 hours. Like people are doing it in teams and like having a nap and having food, you know. It's not like, you know, Nazi Germany, keep riding for full 24 hours.
You will not stop cycling and you will compete. No, no, no. But there are a few fairly competitive teams there that have got a strict strategy in place. One team in particular have done throughout the day, they're going to do 5 laps each rider. And then during the night, they're going to do an hour and a half stint. So they can all have a little bit of recovery time. Mm-hmm. But I doubt they'll be doing much sleeping. I'm sure they'll be counting as they're going, cheering each other on. There's also a nice, strong female presence there in the Isle of Man cycling team of Jess Carriage and Kiri Quayle. So it's lovely to see them going down and supporting it. We also have the likes of Andrew Roach and Rob Holden. And as I left, the team Papua New Guinea All-Stars a nice team name.
Cool.
They've been very thoughtful and inventive with the team names down there. They were the leading team, but I did check just before and actually Team Bike Style were taking the lead at that point. Johnny Epifani was the solo men's leader. Mm-hmm. Emma Atkinson was solo women's. And MVW, the M word, were leading the pairs when I last looked. They've also got finishing medals for everyone. And there's Danine merch going to be handed out.
Awesome.
They'd like to thank the sponsors, who they've got Cycle 360, who've sponsored the teams for first, second and third. Eurocycle, Franklin's and Bike Style have also put prizes in. And a big thank you to everyone who supported, especially Conister Bank, whose help has been absolutely phenomenal. Callum Staley is doing the photography. And actually, funny about Callum, he was doing the start of the race. And then he's gone off to a wedding to go and work there. And then he's coming back and doing the twilight shift. And he's going to stay there in his horse box overnight.
Excellent.
So a big shout out to Callum. Yeah. Everyone that's donated cakes and all of Dan's friends that have pulled together and really put in the tireless hours, and to everyone that's marshalling, you know, it does take an army to put these events on. And if you've got time, go down, especially overnight. It'll be pretty hard for some of them to keep going. And obviously they will have breaks. They're not going to be completely going all night. But yeah, go down and give it a support.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. It's lovely to hear that you went down and it was such a good vibe. Very best of luck to all of you involved in that awesome event and for awesome causes. And well done to Leanne Harper, especially for putting it on. And thank you very much, Charlie.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
Anytime. And with that, I shall leave you to the rest of your weekend. So thank you very much to all my guests and well done to all you hockeyers and footballers today. And very best of luck to all the netballers tomorrow morning. Thank you very much for having me on this afternoon. It's been lovely being in your company once again. I'm off now for a week, but we'll be back buzzing in your ears in the not too distant future with more sporting action. So in the words of Alan Partridge,
why don't you join me for another one? Join me.
Have a great week. I'll speak to you soon.